mushy stock market today after the Fed speaks. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The Federal Reserve hiked interest rates yesterday. We did our best to be sure that you weren't surprised by that news. Its key interest rate will now oscillate within a range of 1% to 1.25%, which is, let's face it, still pretty low. After the decision, the Federal Reserve Chair, Janet Yellen, offered some nuance. Our Thursday analyst, Diane Swonk at DS Economics, watched the performance closely. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
Did you find Dr. Yellen's presentation after her crew raised interest rates enlightening?
It certainly was a bit of a surprise. The statement itself acknowledged that inflation is a little weaker than the Fed would like it, and Chair Yellen went back and said, listen, the weakness we've seen in the economy, it's transitory, and we think it's just one-off factors that are holding inflation down, like cell phone usage rates going down. We got those unlimited data plans now, and that will play its way out. That's a big risk for the Fed going forward. If inflation doesn't pick up again, that's going to be something they're going to have to deal with down the road.
That's such a strange excuse for the economy seeming a little bit weaker, the fact that I shopped for a better data plan. But I guess in the aggregate.
Exactly. This is what the Fed looks at, is at the aggregate numbers. And what was interesting is what we lost was that four-letter word data dependent. We didn't hear that. We didn't hear that at all yesterday. What we heard Chair Yellen say is, listen, we're going to raise interest rates and we're going to keep raising interest rates. And we're just easing up on the gas. We're not hitting the brakes. She was very careful to point that out. We don't want to do anything that's going to really disrupt the economy, even talking about bringing down their massive balance sheet. She said, we'd like it to sort of be like watching paint dry as it happens. So clearly they don't want to be disruptive, but this was certainly a little more than many expected from Chair Yellen, given some of the mixed messages we've seen about the economy of late.
Wow. Building policy to be boring by design. A fascinating world we live in. Diane Swonk, CEO of DS Economics in Chicago. Thank you.
Thank you.
Somebody's been shrinking the NASDAQ Composite Index this week. Today, the index in early trading was down about 1%, down almost 3.5% since this time last week. Now, a European Union law to abolish telephone, text, and data roaming charges across Europe came into force this morning. This affects Europeans in Europe. The BBC's Kevin Connolly filed this for us from Brussels.
The high cost of smartphone roaming has been a trap for the unwary holidaymaker and a burden on business since the coming of the smartphone. The European Commission, desperate for a flagship victory that will put it on the side of the consumer, has been working on the problem for years. The EU wants an achievement to which it can point as a new and clear example of how it has the power to improve everyday life for ordinary customers. In the policy known as Roam Like Home, it believes it's found one. There may still be snags, and every phone user will have to check their own contract with their service provider. But broadly, customers will be free to use their data allowance anywhere in the EU as though they were in their home market.
Where the deer and the antelope play and the Europeans roam. Hi, David Brancaccio, stepping out of my anchorman role for a second. Marketplace is here because these days I think it's essential to have an independent source exploring how the economy really works, not just for the market participants or the financial geniuses, but for everyone. Your support keeps our kind of reporting coming, and it is especially vital now at the end of our fiscal year. If you could, visit marketplace.org/donate to contribute and to keep us on the beat. Thank you. Now listen to this magic trick. I'm about to take what sounds like a boring new report from the fossil fuel giant BP about all global energy use in 2016 and try to turn it into a teachable moment about the world's second largest economy, the world's largest economy, and climate change. Joining me here in the New York Bureau to pull this off is BP's chief economist, Spencer Dale.
One of the features of 2016 was the global growth in energy demand is slowing. So we're still having more demand this year than last year, but the pace of that growth is weak. This is the second or third year where we've seen sort of growth significantly weaker than we got used to.
Who do we thank or who do we blame? Asia in parts, right?
I think this is a thank story because this reflects improving efficiency, and a big chunk of this reflects changes going on in China.
China, again, it's one of the great stories of the past two or three years, which is as China adjusts its economy, its levels of growth are not what they were, say, some years ago.
Exactly. And I think there's two or three things going on in China. So one is the story you just talked about, which is slower economic growth. It's also the pattern of that growth is changing away from the industrial sector towards more consumer and service-facing sectors, which require a lot less energy. And then the third key thing which happened in China is a shift in their fuel mix away from coal towards cleaner, lower carbon fuels, renewable energy, natural gas, nuclear energy.
Now, at the same time, you found that carbon emissions on the planet Earth haven't really increased during that period.
We've now seen carbon emissions from energy use be flat or falling for three consecutive years. This is a very significant break from the last 10 years when they were growing at 2.5% a year or so. And so the big question this raises for energy industries, but for climate and environment and for everybody is this a decisive break from the past or is this largely a sort of cyclical story?
All right. So China, is the U.S. helping at all? I mean, people are buying electric cars. We see a boom in wind power, solar power. Does that count on a global scale?
Carbon emissions have fallen in outright terms significantly in the U.S. in the last couple of years. And the big story there is essentially relates to the U.S. shale gas revolution. So as the U.S. has produced more natural gas, the price of natural gas has fallen. And as the price of natural gas has fallen, that's allowed gas to gain share, particularly within the power sector here relative to coal. And that shift away from coal towards natural gas has led to a very significant reduction in U.S. carbon emissions.
Mr. Dale came bearing BP's annual statistical review. It's like the U.S. Federal Reserve's beige book, important, but with a less than scintillating title. BP Chief Economist Spencer Dale, thank you.
Thank you very much.
And there's word Fox News is dumping its longtime motto, fair and balanced. But before you start dreaming up apt replacement slogans, know that Fox already figured out what it'll use next. Most watched, most trusted. The channel says it's not a journalism thing, it is a rebranding thing. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.